All right, so today I'm going to talk to you about the entire Infusionsoft situation and spam, because I think there is a lot of misinformation out there about what is truly spam, according to the government. Now, you may quickly throw up your hands and say, any unsolicited email that offers me a product or service is spam. Well, we'll talk about that in terms of the FTC regulations and if you are a business owner, what truly constitutes spam. First off, I'll give you a little background on what happened. I purchased a list from a third-party vendor and was going to send out a sample. Well, I did. I sent out a sample. The list had 20,628 dentists in it. And that's one of the targets. Sorry, 20,268 dentists in it. And that's one of the target markets that I'm looking to go after. And it had email addresses and whatnot of dentists across the United States. So I decided I would run a test campaign to see what the results would be, and also to see how many people would complain and were these email addresses A, valid, and B, opt-in email addresses. I wanted to see, you know, what was going to be the reaction. So the first thing I did was craft an email for an offer to download the free ebook, The List Samurai. You might be familiar with that from following some of the stuff I do, and it's a substantial ebook. It's not 16-point type fluff. It's 11-point type, and it's 126 pages of stuff you can really take and implement for your business. I think it's a relevant offer, especially to a business owner that's looking to grow their business. I know dentists are always looking for new prospects. I also know that dentists have the highest suicide rate of any profession. So a lot of these people are, because they know people don't want to come see them. So I know these people are always looking for new prospects and new business. Makes sense to go after them, right? So I craft this email. And I've got a copy of it on the blog that you can look at. And it starts off with, at the beginning, I clearly state above the header image, this is an advertisement. Why did I do that? Well, for starters, you're required to do that when you send out an unsolicited email by the FTC. I also titled the email, couldn't your business benefit from more qualified leads? That's what it said. So it wasn't a misleading title. That's exactly what the email is about. It's about the ebook and how they can download it and start to generate more qualified leads for their practice. So the subject line was very relevant. It wasn't deceptive. I also sent it out under my email address. I included my physical address and my telephone number so people knew that there was an actual person behind this. This wasn't some person off in a third world country sending out these goofy emails about Cialis or Viagra or birth control pills or something like that. This was a legitimate email from a legitimate human being. Although there's legitimate human beings that send out true spam. So don't get me wrong on that. But anyway, identified the message as an ad. I used a relevant subject line. I also offered them something relevant to their business. So it wasn't like I was hitting them up and offering them something that wasn't relative or related to their business. If they are a dentist and they have their own practice, I'm going to venture to say that 99% of them would like to generate more leads for their practice. They would like to grow their practice. I think that's a fair assumption. I also gave an opt-out link at the bottom. All they had to do is click the link, receive no further communication from me. And truth be told, I was only going to send out this one prospecting email to the 20,000 dentist. Well, the first email I only sent out to 3,150 people. So let's do the math on that very quickly to see what percentage I was targeting for the first email. And that comes back to I'm targeting roughly 15% of the people. So I was going to do a test to see, A, how did the email convert, B, how many complaints did it get, and C, were the email addresses relevant. So I was trying to find out that stuff with a smaller sample size instead of sending out all 20,000 at once. As it turns out, Infusionsoft decided to terminate my account for sending out these emails. And we've been going back and forth on this, and that's the reason I have the post on the blog, because a lot of people cry spam over email that truly is not spam. If somebody sends you a relevant offer, if you're a business, first off, let's get this out of the way. If you're a business, you are welcoming people to A, call your business, B, come into your business, C, email your business for business-related stuff, for whatever it is that you happen to offer. Are you going to cry foul every time somebody calls you that you didn't purposely go out and solicit or that you don't know? That's the way you got to look at this, because that's where people are getting wrong with this whole spam, spam, spam. You know, I mean, come on, let's grow up and act like adults here. If the offer is relevant to your business, which I would, like I said before, growing your business and finding more qualified leads is a legitimate offer and is relevant to your business, period. Also, let's say that this would be spam. Let's just say I sent an email to them and the email was titled something along the lines of, are you satisfying her? And then I go into some song and dance about, you know, Cialis, Viagra, whatever, to enhance their sex. That's first, that's assuming that everybody that receives the email is a female or is a male and they're heterosexual. But the offer is not relevant to their business. It's not relevant to what it is that they're looking to accomplish with their business. I'm not looking to do business with them in terms of anything dental related. So that would be spam. Even though the subject line was relative or relevant to the content of the email, I wasn't misleading there, but it's not really a relevant offer to people. Now, I realize I'm going into interpretation here, but the primary FTC can spam provisions are as follows. Don't use false or misleading header information. Number two, don't use deceptive subject lines. Number three, identify the message as an ad. Number four, tell recipients where you're located. Number five, tell recipients how to opt out of receiving future email from you. Number six, honor opt-out requests promptly. Number seven, monitor what others are doing on your behalf. Now, if you go to the blog and you see this or you're on the blog, check out the email that I sent and you tell me, does that not meet every single requirement as set forth by the FTC for the CAN spam provisions? The CAN spam provisions do not have anything in there that you cannot send an email to somebody that you don't know or that didn't specifically request that you email them. There are people that email you through your Facebook account, through Twitter. They just email you out of the blue that you don't know. You don't cry spam on that a lot of the times if it's something personal or whatever. Furthermore, I would venture to say a lot of the stuff in your inbox is shit from people that are friends of yours. A majority of the emails you get from your friends have absolutely nothing to do with business or your place of employment. True? I mean, go through your inbox. Furthermore, go through your inbox and look through the people that you do business with on a regular basis. If you can, trace that email all the way back to its origin, or that relationship all the way back to its origin. Did you know that person beforehand? Did they email you first, or did you email them first? I'm going to venture to say somebody had to reach out and extend the olive branch. And same thing goes with a phone call. They may have called you first. To me, it's far more intrusive for somebody to call me and start into a pitch than it is for them to email me. I would much prefer that you email me as opposed to calling me up on the telephone, interrupting what I'm doing, expecting me to listen to your stupid spiel to where you do not want to get to the point. And I can talk on this on a tangent too. I had a guy come to my door the other day. It was a kid selling some candy for they were going on some Cub Scout, Boy Scout, whatever retreat. And as soon as I opened the door, he started with, "Hello, sir," and then you could tell he was going into the script. And I said, "Whoa, whoa, 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 stop. What is it that I can do for you today?" And he really didn't know how to react because he's so used to doing the script. He was instructed to go through the entire thing. "Hello, my name is, and we are..." Now, I don't want to hear that. And that's the same thing when people, these telemarketers call you and they're going to try to do some spiel, or you get some sales rep that's going to call with his cold call routine and go into a script. To me, that's far more offensive than a piece of email. Why? Because if I don't want, if the email's not relevant to me, I can just click the delete button. No harm, no foul. Also, if it does look relevant to me and it looks interesting, I can mark it to where I can go back and read it later. So I don't have to stop what I'm doing right this second and address the email. That's why I tend to prefer email for prospecting type of efforts. You may differ. That's okay. I mean, we'll agree to disagree. But to me, because I did sales before too, so that's another reason that I detest cold calling and I detest people cold calling me. I just cannot stand it. I hate the telephone, for starters, because it's an interruptive device. Email is not interruptive. You can go download your email on your time, on your schedule. You can choose to either read, delete, or acknowledge the email on your own time frame. The telephone doesn't give you that. The telephone asks you to stop what you're doing and answer the thing and either have a conversation with the person on the other end or do your best to get them off the telephone. That's if you elect to answer the phone. I know you can always ignore it, and then it goes to voicemail. But, you know, when somebody calls you, they're essentially interrupting what you're doing. So, there's my little rant on the telephone in comparison to email. But a lot of people think just because an email comes from somebody they don't know that it's spam. That's not true. I had an interesting debate over email with a rather well-regarded consultant up in the, I believe he's in the Northeast. He's written several books about the consulting field and everything else. And he thinks every piece of email that comes from somebody unsolicited is spam. And he gets all wet about it and he sends nasty grams back and forth to you and takes this high horse approach to where, frankly, he comes across as an asshole. He comes across as a douche clown. Sorry for the language, but it's true. Now, I've gone from having a lot of respect for this person to where if a client called me and asked me to refer them to a leading consultant or whatever, that will be the last person I refer them to. And it's simply because he doesn't understand the nature of email. It's a communication vehicle. And I would venture to say that some of the people that have emailed him unsolicited are now customers of his. If he'd taken the same stance with them off an email, which this was an email, mind you, that was in follow-up to a letter from the previous week, and he still got all wet about it. And I said, look, I sent you a letter, and I even specifically stated in the letter I would either follow up with you via email or telephone. Well, I didn't have the guy's telephone number, so I couldn't call him, but I did have his email address. So I specifically stated in the letter, which tells me, A, he didn't read the letter, which is a reason for following up, right? So there was a purpose for emailing him, even though he didn't believe so. He just, oh, spam, 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 spam. Oh, I'm a nerd. Whatever. But anyway, this whole notion that people email you and it's unrequested, you don't know them, so that automatically makes it spam is erroneous to the core, especially if you are a business owner or you are a salesperson or you are doing business. People are going to email you just like they are going to call you on the telephone. Just like if you operate a retail store, people that you don't know are going to come into the store. At least you hope people that you don't know come into the store because that means you're thriving. Same thing with people calling you. You're wanting to make the phone ring, you're wanting to make the cash register ring, and 80%, if you're thriving, 80% of the people that come in on a regular basis are going to be unknown to you at the time they come in. Now, they may become customers, and you may develop an ongoing relationship, so forth and so on, but somebody has to reach out and express an interest in working with the other person. Email just happens to be one of those vehicles to do that. It's one of the mediums. Or one of the media to use. Same thing with social media. I mean, same thing with that. I mean, you've got a lot of people crying spam because somebody reaches out and wants to be friends with you. Is that really a bad thing? Somebody wants to reach out and become a friend of yours? I mean, are you really on your high horse to the point to where you don't want any more friends? I don't know. I mean, I know the world's filled with all types and everybody has the reasons for doing what they do, and I'm not here to cast judgment on that, but at the same time, you know, this whole let's cry spam over every unsolicited email. I mean, if I look through my inbox, I'll look through it right now, and look at some of the stuff that I get from people. If I cried spam on every piece of email that came to me from somebody I don't know that was looking to do business or had a business proposition, I wouldn't have any clients. I wouldn't have any partners. Because a lot of the time, that's how all this starts. If somebody sends an email and says, hey, I noticed this or I noticed that. Seems rather interesting. Can you tell me more? Or, I notice you do this. Do you think you could help me with da da da? It's not spam. I could cry spam if I were going to be one of those people that thinks that every unsolicited email or an email from somebody unknown is automatically spam. I mean, people need to be educated on what is spam and what isn't. I mean, I followed the canned spam rules to the letter. And I even went an extra step by including my phone number. If somebody wanted to call me and say, you know, hey, I think that's spam, we could have had a conversation about it. And I would venture to say, you can go read my post on the blog, or you can listen to me rant here about it now, that if you're in business, you are essentially putting yourself out there and saying, in order to grow your business, please contact me in some way if you would like for me to help you solve whatever problem you're having. True? I mean, do you think Banana Republic, if you walked into their store, they would say, well, wait a minute, sir, we don't know you, please leave, you need to fill out a form? And no. They say, come on in, buy some clothes. Glad to see you. What can we help you with today? They don't know me. I don't know them. I don't know the people that work there. But if I want to go buy clothes, I'm going to walk into their store. Or I'm going to go to their website. I might even call their customer service department and ask a question. I don't know. They don't know me. They don't know Roger Bauer from a hole in the wall. You know? I mean, it's something to think about. And that's one of the reasons I went out and procured the list. I thought to myself, you know, I can follow all these stipulations in the scan can spam requirements. I mean, I can use a valid subject line. That's not hard. I can give people a way to opt out and never receive another email from me again. I've got those capabilities. I can also give them my address, telephone number, and email address. I don't mind that. I'm reaching out to them. You know, if they want to do business, I would hope they would contact me back. I have no problem telling them where I'm located. I'm in business. I'm in business to help people. I'm in business to help people with their business. So that's not hard. I'll freely tell them, hey, if you don't want to receive email from me, click the link at the bottom. You won't hear from me again. And it's going to honor the request immediately. So there you go. The only requirement that I have an issue with that I can't really control on my own is monitor what others are doing. Well, I'll take that back. I can monitor what others are doing on my behalf. Now, I cannot, and you cannot either, if somebody wants to go out and harvest email addresses and then send out emails as if they're you, I'm sorry. There's very little you can do. Now, if it turns into a complaint and you get a judgment slapped against you or you get sued or whatever else, if you can demonstrate that you were not the one that originated the email, well, then there you go. But in terms of what third parties do for me, like Infusionsoft in that case, yeah, I can monitor what they're doing on my behalf. I know they're not sending out emails sending emails out to my customers and my prospects. I know that. I trust them to abide by those rules. Same thing goes for people that hire me to help them with their campaigns. They know I'm not sending out emails to their customers or prospects. I respect the whole privacy issue. So, I mean, that actually number 7 is really a non-issue. Monitor what others are doing on your behalf, because if you select your partners and your vendors wisely, then you'll know. You'll know what they're doing on your behalf. So, There you go. So anyway, that is kind of the rant on the whole spam issue. And there's one more thing. They have email intent outlined on the FTC site, and I'll read this to you. What matters is the primary purpose of the message. To determine the primary purpose, remember that an email can contain three different types of information. One, commercial content, which advertises or promote a commercial product or service, including content on a website operated for a commercial purpose. Transactional, or relationship content, which facilitates an already agreed upon transaction or updates a customer about an ongoing transaction. And the last one, other content, which is neither commercial nor transactional or relationship. Now, mine was commercial content. It advertises or promotes a commercial product or service, including content on a website operated for a commercial purpose. That was mine. That was the intent. It was commercial intent. I make no bones about that. I state clearly in the header section that it was an advertisement. I'm stating clear up, hey, look, dude, or chick, this is an advertisement. I am going to attempt to entice you to go to a website, or actually what I'm going to try to do is entice you to click a button and download my ebook. I actually wasn't selling anything in the initial email. I was simply offering them the freebie, the lead magnet. So yes, there was commercial. It was commercial content, and it was commercial intent because down the road I'm going to try to sell them something. Should be pretty clear. And they go on to say, the FTC does, if the message contains only commercial content, its primary purpose is commercial, and it must comply with the requirements of canned spam. Boom. Guess what Roger did? He complied fully because he understood it was a commercial content message. If it contains only transactional or relationship content, its primary purpose is transactional or relationship. Duh. In that case, it may not contain false or misleading routing information, but is otherwise exempt from most provisions of the Canned Spam Act. So in other words, if you have a pre-existing relationship with someone, then you don't have to follow all of these guidelines. But if you have a commercial email or an email containing mostly commercial content, you have to follow all seven provisions. I did. I had no problem with that. So I believe I was totally canned spam compliant, and I'm going to try to get someone on the phone from the FTC to look at the email and advise on, did I follow your requirements to the letter of the law? And if they tell me no, well, then I'll have some egg on my face. But I think anybody who looks at, and I've got them all outlined on the blog, I think if anybody looks at the requirements and looks at them objectively and really looks at them from a common sense perspective, you'll see that I did. And I see Joe has replied back. He said, well, I'm sorry to hear what happened. I don't know what I'd do if I was shut off from using Infusionsoft. I was always understood that spam had to do with unsolicited email. See, that is a misnomer. That's not necessarily what it is. It's not unsolicited email. Obviously, from reading the text of your email, the list you'd sent had no idea who you were. Again, according to my previous understanding, that would be spam. But I've never taken the time to review all of the laws. After visiting the FTC site, I'd have to concur that I can't see anywhere a portion of the law that has to do with the receiver having previously opted in. I did notice that there are URLs, phone numbers, and emails if you have questions. All right, so that's what Concerned Joe says, which I think he works for Infusionsoft, but I'm not really sure. But anyway, my reply to him was, I believe a lot of people construe spam as purely email coming from someone unknown or merely unsolicited. If that were the case, I'd venture a sizable wager that even more businesses would go under because that's the nature of business. You want people to email, call, stop in, tell their friends, etc. At least 80% of the people on any given day, if you're thriving, are going to be unknown. Would they be spam? If you go by most people's definition, they would be, and that's simply not right. That's the point I'm trying to impart on fellow business owners and marketers. We all use email for business growth, and we receive a lot of email that is for legitimate business purposes from people we don't know. In other words, I'm encouraging marketers to raise their game and abide by the requirements. We'd all benefit from that, and our audience would benefit too. Giving them an easy way to opt out is always a good thing, as is reassuring them a real person is behind the email. Now, let me state for the record, I totally understand Infusionsoft's stance, and I do. I understand it. Their main focus is deliverability. They want a high deliverability rate. And as a business owner and a marketer, I applaud them for that. That's what you want out of an autoresponder service. I don't appreciate the fact that they're trigger happy. If I fired every client or partner or over every first false step, I'd have no clients or partners. And I have fired clients and partners before, but it's rarely been for the first instance or a misstep. It's kind of like, and you look at, I emailed 15% of the list as a test, and I wasn't going to email any more people based on the complaints anyway. Before they decided to shut me down, I was monitoring the metrics right along, and I was kind of shocked that people cried spam as much as they did, because I thought it was a relevant offer, and also, if they're in business, I would assume that they want people emailing them and trying to drum up more business. So I was kind of taken aback by that, but hey, I understand. I'll just adjust my campaign accordingly, go through a different provider, and have them opt in to whatever provider I use in the future. I hope it becomes Infusionsoft again. I hope they will continue to honor me as a certified marketing automation coach. It's not like the knowledge left my brain. It's not like I don't know what I'm doing. It's not like I'm some renegade marketer that's out there spamming people. I'm following the laws. I'm following the regulations. I just won't use the broadcast email, the initial email. I will not send it out through Infusionsoft. That is the bottom line out of this. That's all they had to do is call me up and say, hey, look, dude, sorry, even though you have followed the rules to the letter of the law, and it's not illegal what you're doing, in that sense, you're hurting our deliverability rate, which also compromises our other customers. Go through one of these third parties, and they could have recommended a third party. They could have even recommended a third party as an affiliate and made some money off of me. I got no problem with that. Just say, hey, look, go to this provider and send your emails out through them and have them come opt in through your Infusionsoft application. That way, everybody's happy. But did they do that? No. They hid behind emails all day long and tried to, let's play legalese with Roger, as opposed to just, hey, call me up and tell me. Look, dude, stop what you're doing. Don't do this anymore. If you do it again, then we're going to terminate your account. I mean, in reading the canned spam laws, I thought this shouldn't be against any terms. And I, for the record, and in Infusionsoft's defense, who really reads all of that legal long jargon on acceptable use policies? I know you're supposed to read them. I know you're supposed to memorize it. I know you should read every damn word on the thing. But who does it? I mean, when you are doing a campaign, chances are you want to get the campaign out. I mean, I've got clients that call me in a frenzy because they need to get an email campaign out within the next 20 minutes because they're getting ready to go on a live event or something else, and they didn't promote it that one last time to try to get some last minute push into the event. I mean, that's what happens. I mean, people are like, just get the email out, whatever. Okay, I'll help them do that. But I mean, I don't sit there and read every acceptable use. I know I should. And I'm sorry. I don't have that stuff memorized. And frankly, legalese speak bores me to tears. It probably bores you too. So anyway, that's kind of the background on all of this. And I'm hopeful that Infusionsoft will review my stance and my rebuttal and the situations behind it. And that's the reason I'm going public with this. It's not to put pressure on Infusionsoft or anything like that. It's just simply to share my side of the story, and also hopefully to educate some people. I mean, if you just sit there and you cry spam on every email from somebody unsolicited or unknown, then if you're a business, you're not going to be in business long. Because if you're just going to sit there and play email police, first of all, you're wasting your time doing that stuff. I mean, if you're going to come, cry spam on every damn email that comes in from somebody unknown or every unsolicited email, I mean, are you really focusing on what you do best? Are you playing to your strengths? Are you worried about email all day? And second of all, if you think every unsolicited or email from an unknown person is spam, then you're not going to get a whole lot of new clients. Sorry. I mean, that's the way a lot of people go about it. And same thing with dentist. Let's say I emailed them and said, what do you charge for an initial cleaning and exam? And just left it at that. Even though I have absolutely zero intention of going into, let's see, if I emailed all 20,268, I'm going to go to one dentist out of that. So that means I will have sent 20,267 emails that are completely bogus and I know it going in. And I also understand that I'll be doing good to get 1% of the people to take me up on my offer for the ebook, which would give me about, what's that work out to be? 1% would be 2,027 people. So, I mean, it's not like I'm going to knock the ball out of the park with this one email campaign or this one prospecting campaign. I mean, if I do better than that, great. I mean, I think the lead magnet that I was offering was of high value. I mean, that could push the opt-in rate up pretty high, but, you know, you never know. Anyway, I've gone on a very long rant here, and I just wanted to give you some backstory on what all's going on and the lessons to be learned. And I think that we as business owners and marketers need to look at the canned spam provisions and truly understand them, and also understand that every piece of email that you receive from somebody unsolicited or from unknown people doesn't necessarily mean it's spam, because you're in business. I mean, I could see it if people were emailing you on your personal account, all of this Viagra and all of that, you know, because they don't give you any way to opt out. I mean, if you click on the links to opt out, you get more email. So that's very deceptive. They also use deceptive subject lines. They also don't tell you where they're located. They also don't give you any ways to opt out. And if you do send an email back to them to request to opt out, it takes a while. So they don't honor the opt-out request promptly. So anyway, I could go on and on and on. But there's the backstory. Hope you get some benefit out of it, and I hope you look at email in a little different light and at least look at it from the perspective of a business owner, a marketer, and also how you view the telephone. I mean, you don't get all up in arms about the telephone every time it rings from somebody unknown. I mean, some people do, but it's very few. I would say more people cry spam, 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 spam than they do call the no call registry or whatever to report somebody, because it takes time. It's very easy to just click on a button and say, oh, this was spam. Even though technically, according to the law, according to the provisions, it's not. Anyway, I'm off my soapbox. Again, hope you got something out of it, and talk to you again soon.